let's go to the word of the Lord. Psalms chapter 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The greatest warrior of all time, the man after God's own heart, wrote the words, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. Don't you ever think that God does not know who you are. He knows every hair on our head. He knows exactly where we are. He knew we would be here today. If you're here today, you're not here by accident. You're not here just because you decided you were going to go to church. You're not here just because some ugly redheaded preacher was going to preach to you today. But you are here because God has searched you and He knew you would be here this morning. Today I want to preach from this subject. Just count the sand. Just count the sand. Let's lift our hands one more time to heaven. Jesus, we thank you, God. Lord, I come before you today, your humble servant. Lord, your word is already anointed, but I pray, God, that you would bridge a gap between, God, the pulpit and the hearts of these people. God, I pray, God, that you heal today. I pray that you feel today, God. I pray, God, that you would resurrect some things in this place today. You see every need. You see every situation and every circumstance. God, you have searched us. And you know us. Let's clap our hands one more time before you're seated. If you're going to preach with me, you may be seated. Well, some of you sat down already, so you have to preach with me now because you already agreed to it. Praise the Lord. So glad to be here. Let's have church, amen. Psalms 139, chapter 1 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me. We'll stop right there. Depending on how we are living our life as individuals, this scripture here, Psalms 139 and 1, will either be the most frightening scripture in the Word of God, or it will be one of the most calming scriptures that you ever read. We know who we are. There are things that we have done. There are things in our spirits, there are things in our heart that we know, desires, dreams, things that sometimes we don't talk about because we just think people will think we're absolutely crazy. I don't know it yet, but I've heard wives say about their husband, I know him better than he knows himself. Well, I don't know how true that is. I haven't been married that long. But we'll see. But there is an all-seeing eye. There is one that sees all and knows all. And his name is Jesus Christ. We must, in order for this to work today, we must fully grasp what it means to search. When it says that someone has searched you. When it says that God has searched me, let me tell you what that means. There are treasure hunters, even to this day, that go around the world searching, going off of old pirate maps, finding islands that have never been found before, but have followed this old pirate map. People that have spent all of their life's earnings, emptied out their 401ks, drain their bank accounts to try to find a treasure. A treasure that they do not even know is there. A treasure that they cannot say if someone has ever found it before. But they are searching. And 9 times out of 10, that treasure hunter will search and he will search. And when he finally comes to the place that is marked on that map, there's a million things that could have happened. There's a million different scenarios. Maybe somebody found it before. Maybe it had been covered up by dirt. Maybe it had been covered up in caves. Maybe caves had collapsed at that time. But whenever they find their mark, the treasure is not there. There are explorers that explore the world searching. People that find things like King Tut's tomb. People that find I see things all the time on the internet and social media and things like that where they have found Noah's Ark, or they have found this, or they have found that. But let me tell you, the greatest explorer of all time's name was not Christopher Columbus. The greatest explorer and the greatest treasure that was found was not at King Tut's tomb. But the greatest explorer, the greatest treasure hunter of all time's name is Jesus Christ. He sees every little thing in our world. Though doctors cannot find it sometimes, though psychologists cannot find it sometimes, there are things within our world, there are things within our heart, our mind, and our spirit that we can't really put into words sometimes. But the good news is that He has searched me. He has searched the depths of my soul. He has seen everything. He has seen every dream. He has seen every hope. And He has seen every wish, every desire that is in our heart that we think nobody else knows about. And we may not even tell the leadership in our life because we think that they would think we were crazy. The good news is today, you've walked into this place on a Sunday morning. And I want to let you know that there is a master explorer by the name of Jesus Christ that has searched you. And He knows everything about you. He knows every hair on your head. There is not one thing that gets by Him. He has searched you. When the psalmist writes that God has searched me, he was not saying that God just looked at him, did a little checkup, and moved on. But what this meant was God had studied me. I am the king of Israel. I have killed my 10,000s. Though Saul has killed his thousands, I've killed my 10,000s. I'm the greatest warrior of all time that Israel has ever seen. Nobody can get to me unless I want them to get to me. I have guards that stand at my door when I sleep, and nobody can get to me. Oh, but I know I'm not too crazy to think that there's not a God in heaven that sees every thought that I think, that sees everything that I do. If there is somebody that wants to get to me, though there's guards on the outside, Jesus Christ will always find me. He has searched us. You're in this place today. I don't know what walks of life we have here today. The pastor didn't go on telling me a bunch of dirt. He didn't tell me anything. But I come here today to tell somebody, I don't know what your life was like as a kid. I don't know what your past was like. I don't know what your circumstance is right now. But we're living in a society today that a lot of times we can walk through life and we can feel forgotten. And we can feel like nobody knows where we are. And we can feel like nobody sees where we are. And we look and we go try to find counsel with professionals, and we try to find counsel with doctors, and though they prescribe us medicine, and though they try to give us a little chart to tell us where we really are, there's things on the inside that we can never put into words, so they don't really know where we exactly are. But I've come to tell you, it's not time to be depressed. It's not time to bury ourselves in a closet somewhere and say there's nothing else that I'm going to be able to do. My life's over. I want to tell you, God has searched you. He knows you. You are not forgotten. He sees where you are today, and He knew that you would be in here today, and He sent a little 23-year-old red-headed preacher that screams a lot to tell you that God loves you, and He knows where you are, and He knows who you are.
Hey, let me tell you, I grew up as a young boy. I always knew that God wanted to do something with my life, Pastor. I always knew that He wanted to do something with my life, but I didn't know how He was going to do it. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but I grew up with a lineage or a heritage of preachers that ran from God. My father was called to preach. My uncle was called to preach. My grandfather was called to preach. And they all ran from God. So here I was, a 14-year-old boy feeling a call to preach. And I didn't think that I could ever do anything. Who am I? My daddy, one of the ones that I look up to, he couldn't do it. My grandfather, one of the strongest men that I ever knew, a man that loves his family, and a man that would leave from New York to come to me right now if I made the cell phone call. The one of the strongest men that I knew, I look at him and I said, God, I don't know how you can call me to this ministry. I don't know how you can call me to do this. I don't know how you can call me to preach because I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm great enough. I feel like I'm forgotten. But there was a man of God in my world by the name of Douglas White that reached down and grabbed me and showed me and taught me that there is a God that has searched me, and He knows me regardless who my mama was, and regardless who my daddy was, and regardless of what happened in my past. I come to tell you that God knows who you are. But on the other side, the God of all creation, the Father of all creation, the one that said, "Let there be light," and formed us out of the dust of the earth. He didn't only search and find every good thing, but He's also searched and found every bad thing. He's found every habit and every addiction, every jealousy, every lust, every failure, every sin. He sees it all. Every character flaw that gets us in trouble, He sees it. Every hurt, every pain, every disease, every sickness, He sees it all. God has come to bring it to your attention today that when He searched us, He could see through the mask. When He searched us, He could see every skeleton in the closet. When He searched us, it didn't matter how much we put ourselves in a box of depression and pushed out the world. Depression and the walls of insecurity could not keep Him out. We can keep our family out. We can keep our friends out. We can isolate ourselves to one room of our home. Some of you may do that and only be able to walk out for church services. But I promise you, it don't matter where you go. It don't matter how far you walk away. You cannot escape the all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipresent God. He sees who we really are. For the Holy Ghost, just step in here right now. He knows who we really are. He knows about every relationship, and He knows every motive to every relationship. He sees all. He knows all. He has searched me, the psalmist said. Such powerful words. He has searched you. There is no fooling Him. We can fool our parents. We can fool our pastor. We can fool our friends. We can even fool ourselves. But you better never forget the reality that God has searched you, and He looks through you like a glass, and He sees all. The walls that we put up, though they may be brick, though they may be wood, it's just glass to Him. There is nothing that can keep us from Him. Psalms 139 and verse 2, the psalmist says, "Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising." Thou understandest my thought afar off. He sees every time that we sit down, and he sees every time that we get up. He knows every thought and understands how and why I'm thinking the thought before I even thought the thought. He knows when we're doing good. He knows when we come to the church and we're encouraged. And he knows when we're just clapping and going through the motions because we got other things going on. We can't fool him, though we can clap to the beat. And though we can jump to the beat and clap when everybody else is clapping. He sees when we're up. And he sees when we're down. And he sees the thoughts that are thought in your mind. And he knows where they come from. Verse number 3 says, Thou compasseth my path. And my lying down and aren't acquainted with all my ways. He circles around the path of our life. He can pass us about it. It don't matter if we're walking somewhere we should be, or it don't matter if we're walking somewhere we shouldn't. The Bible said that he has compassed about. He circles around and sees everywhere we go, every decision we're going to make, every home that we buy, every car that we buy, every church that we go to, every pastor we submit to. He looks and he sees all. There is not one thing that is not that it goes unnoticed. I want to tell you today that we serve a God that is acquainted with all our ways. All our ways. Whether they be good ways or bad ways, he is acquainted with all our ways. Verse number 4 says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. That means there's nothing that I can say that he doesn't know already. There's nothing that I can put into words that he doesn't know already. Verse number 5 says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. He anointed me even though he knew who I was. That's what it says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. He knows me better than he knows than we know ourselves. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There's nowhere that we can go to get away from this God. If I ascend up into heaven, if I'm on the top of the world, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter if I'm in the biggest pulpit. It doesn't matter if I'm in the smallest pulpit. It doesn't matter if I'm a usher at the door. It doesn't matter if I'm a singer on the platform. If I'm up, if I'm down, he knows exactly where I am, and he is there everywhere. That means the anointing of God does not just dwell behind the pulpit, but the anointing of God can dwell at the door. The anointing of God can dwell in the pew. There's been more miracles prayed in the pews than there has been preached in the pulpit. You know why? Because he compasses about our ways. And he's an omnipresent God. And he's just as much in the pews as he is behind the pulpit, as he is on the platform today. That's the kind of God that we served. He searched me. Today, I want to point out something. Verse number 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. There's a comma, there's a pause there. He searched me, Pastor. He searched high and low. He searched and saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. He searched all. He searched me. The beauty of this is that after he searched me, he still chose to know me. Oh, Jesus. After he searched me, after he saw the indifference, after he saw all the things in my world that wasn't right, after he saw the background, after he saw where I came from, after he looked and says, I've searched every skeleton in that closet, after he searched us, he knew us. And that was His choice. He robed Himself in flesh and He dwelt among us. And He said, I'm gonna dwell among these people. I don't just want to search them. I don't just want to see them. But I want to know them in an intimate way. I want to get down and I want to put my arms around them. And I want to start this in an upper room. And I want to know them in a way that has never been known by any spiritual being before. I want to dwell in them. I want to fill them with my spirit because I have a purpose for them that after I searched them, I still chose to know them. Is anybody thankful for that? Because we know who we are. And before we knew Him, He searched us and He knew exactly who we are. Verse number 12 says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He chose to cover us after He knew who we would be. He chose to cover us anyway. Verse number 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Hey, that means that's why that the Bible says in Proverbs that the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God. You know why? Because we were made in the fear of God. We've got to get back in touch with the fear of God for Him to reveal to us what He really wants to. Why? Because we were fearfully made in His eyes. We were made in His hands. Though He said, let there be light, and there was light. Though He began to speak the word, God, I want to make, He said, I want to make animals. He said, I want to make the sea. He said, I want to make the atmosphere. After He made all them things, He said, okay, I'm going to stop for a second, and I'm not just going to speak a word, but I'm going to reach down, because this is the most important creation that will ever be made. And He reached down into the dust of the earth, and He picked up this dust and He began to form clay. It was in the potter's hands that day. And He said, I'm making them fearfully. I'm making them in the very fear of God. And one day, if they will come in contact with the fear of God, I will pour out knowledge and I will pour out understanding unto them. Hey, let me tell you, church, you're not an accident. You are made in the hands of God. But that's not all. The Bible said not only were we fearfully made, but we were also wonderfully made. What's that mean? We were full of wonder. That's why God looked. Jesus, when He was on earth, looked and said, greater things shall ye do. Hey, let me tell you, I've seen God do some crazy things. You're looking at a boy whose mama had cancer in October, but she went down. I was there whenever they pulled up the x-rays. And deterioration had happened and completely deteriorated the tubes to her kidneys. And the doctor said in Houston, Texas, you can't go back home. You need to stay here. We're about to do emergency surgery for you. And we begin to pray. And we begin to say, God, you got to do something. Because if this is true, she's ate up with cancer. And all of a sudden, she went into the room. And the doctor said, it's going to be an hour and a half surgery. 20 minutes later, she came out, and I walked in there. I said, ma'am, what's going on? What's the matter? She said, I don't know what happened. She said, but for some reason, whenever I went down and did, I cut her open and went in for surgery, the surgery was already done. I said, ma'am, what about the cancer? She said, you don't worry about that. She don't have cancer. Hey, let me tell you, that's why the Lord formed us full of wonder, so He could do wonderful things in our world. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen aneurysms healed. I was at Pastor Hoosier's church a couple months ago, and there was a man that came to the front, and he had an aneurysm in his stomach, and the doctor had sent him home and said, there's nothing else that we can do. And we laid hands on him, and he hit the ground and held his stomach. He said, I'm in even more pain than I was before. But let me tell you what happened, brother. He went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but we gave up on you, and the aneurysm's gone. There is no aneurysm here. You're healed. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to keep doing it. I want to tell you, if you're here with a sickness in your body, the very God that formed you from the dust of the earth, in the fear of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, he is here today to touch you.
God can do it. I've seen too much. I've seen too much for someone to tell me that God's not real. Fearfully, wonderfully. He didn't fearfully and wonderfully make the earth, but we were fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to realize who we are as a people, who we are as a church. Satan, Lucifer, the angel, the minister of music, is up in him, up in heaven. He says, I want to be like the Most High. And God grabs him up and sends him down to hell, casts him like an arrow. And this same devil is always in our ear telling us what we can do and who we are. Some of you, even in this service today, hell's told you, well, I know he told about cancer being healed, but that's not for you. I know that he told about aneurysms being healed and heart problems being healed, but that's not for you. Who is Satan to tell us what we can do? The very one that said, I want to be like the Most High, is telling the one that God looked at and said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Satan wanted to be like him, and he was cast down for it. But God turns around and said, you need to be like me. He turned around and said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We were made in his image. We were made in the image of God. The very thing that hell, that Satan wanted to be. God cares about us. This is not some Jesus loves you message. This is an authority message. It's time to find out who we really are. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. He saw my worth. He looked past my imperfections and said, I've searched them and I see the imperfections, but I still want to know them. We'd stand across the building. I don't know who's dealing with what today. I feel as though there's someone here today dealing with some insecurities. God's calling you to something. God said, I want to use you. I want to anoint you. I want to do something with your life, and all you can think of is your imperfections. That's you today. I want you to come and line up across this front. God's going to do something here today. God's going to do something mighty today. I had somebody that would step out. That's it. Thank you, brother. You don't have to kneel. Just stand. If you're dealing with depression, I ask you to come. God wants to deliver some people from depression today.
Singers, hey, I've hid behind a mic before. If you need to come and need prayer, we want to pray for you. God wants to deliver somebody in this house today. If you feel a calling in your life and you know God wants to do something with you, and every time you get down to pray or every time you want to go forward in God, all you can hear is that voice of the adversary saying, you've done too much. You got too many imperfections. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You come from the wrong family. Hey, look, this man right here came from the wrong family. Somebody with the last name Fish has no business standing behind a pulpit. But guess what happened? He saw my substance. Even though he looked at my family tree. Maybe you're here today and you've been plagued with sickness, disease in your world. And all you know, man, I feel the Holy Ghost today. All you know is that God's forgotten about me. God's forgotten about me. Is that healing stuff real anymore? I challenge you, ma'am, come. The Bible says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. I want to get into somebody's mind today. Somebody's in here, and there's been thoughts in your mind to give up. Thoughts to quit. Thoughts of, man, is this whole living for God thing even worth it anymore? Where are you at today? How great are those thoughts in your head right now? How many do you have a day? One, two, three? Is it just one strong thought, brother, that we dwell on? I'm asking you. If hell's attacked your mind, please come. There's a revival in this place. My goodness, there's such a revival that God's going to do. Those of you that's come, I want you to line up across the front right here, please. Come as close as you can. You all right, brother? Thank you, brother. Come on, maybe you're here today. You're saying, it's been so long since I really felt the love of God like I need to. I'm on my last leg. If I can get into the flow today, maybe I can go another year. Maybe I can go another service. Please come today. I want you to watch this. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. God's thinking of us. I know that you have thoughts. Each and every one of us have thoughts. Sometimes they're not our thoughts. Sometimes they're from the enemy. But I want us to weigh the thoughts today. Whose thoughts are greater? How great is the sum of them, O Lord? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Your thoughts to me, O Lord, are greater in number than the sand. You guys that came up here, ma'am, sir, I want y'all to put y'all's hands out. Put them together. I want you to count that. Count that as good as you can. And here's my proposal. If you're here today and you want something from God, I want you to come. If you want a new revelation of who God really is to you, and where you are in His mind, I want you to come to the front. I need you, somebody, to see this. I want you to try to count then. You, Pastor, it's really hard to count that. Each grain represents a thought of Him towards me. All that junk that we can't be used to God, all that junk that we're not good enough, all that junk that we can't live for God because God's forgotten about us. He ain't forgot about us. His thoughts are greater than that of the sand. The number of them are greater than the sand. Hey, sis, God's got a plan for you. God's not giving up on you. God knows who you are. Church, the rest of you, I want you to come. Come to the front and gather around these here. Oh, if you're here today and you just need to be reminded of how God loves you, I want you to come and I want you to count the sand today. Somebody come get you a handful of this sand today and say, God, I'm reminded. I'm reminded of who you are. He has searched me. And he still knows who I am. And he's still thinking great things for me.